All right, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. And I'm going to read to you beginning in verse number 9 this morning. And I promise you that I need God. I sat in the office this morning, and when I woke up this morning, I woke up with a strange, but yet as strange as it was, I have had the feeling so much that I still need the touch of the Holy One of Heaven. No matter how long I go, no matter how far I get, no matter where I end up, if I don't have God, I don't have Jack. If I don't have God, I don't have anything that I need. But if I have God, it doesn't matter what else is against me, because if God be for me, there is no one that can stand against me. And I'm going to need some help this morning. I know it's early, but you're going to have to help me a little bit more than that. I need God. I had a little illustration this last night on some things God can do, and if you'll let Him do it, He'll do it a whole lot better than you ever could do it. Last night, my wife, well, 2 days ago, really, my wife called, no, 3 days ago. 3 days ago, I was doing something that I do not do very often, and that was sitting in my chair. I don't do a lot of sitting. I was sitting in my chair. I was reading a book, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye, something went fluttering very quickly past me on the ground. Well, I don't know about you. I'm not a rich man, but I pay my bills. Last time I checked, I'm paying a quarterly pest control man to come out and spray my house and to put out them little traps. So I thought, you know what, that was just something out of the corner of my eye. Well, that night, I turned off the light in my living room to make my way to the bedroom because, once again, I don't sleep much, but I was going to go to the bedroom and read in there, I guess. I don't know. And as I got up on that little wood floor, I heard the pitter-patter of little feet. I thought, 1, 2, 3, 4 feet, so it's not a cockroach. I almost said a cucaracha, but it ain't a cucaracha either. It's a cockroach. And it had a little tail on it and big ears. But it didn't have shorts and a shirt on, so I knew it wasn't Mickey. It was a mouse. So I had the choice. Do I tell my wife, who is deathly afraid, or do I keep it to myself? Well, fellas, I've been married long enough to know the honeymoon's over, so what do? I told my wife. So I went in there and I said, honey, I just saw a mouse. I saw a big mouse. She said, how big? I said, well, I don't know, but it was big enough I saw it twice in the dark. She grabs her chest, jumps up on the bed, in the fetal position, beginning to suck her thumb. She looks at me long enough and she said, I swear if you don't get that, I will leave. I will take everything you have with you. I will go to your grandmother's. I will tell them you're smoking crack and you'll never see your children again. I said, you can take them. Keep them. Won't bother me. Won't bother me at all. And that whole thing wouldn't bother me until I saw that same mouse run out from under my bed at that moment. You know what happened then? We were both in the fetal position sucking our thumbs on that bed. Long story short, we called the exterminator the next day. I said, you better call him, because if I call him, I'm going to say some things I'm going to have to repent of. She said, okay. Well, she called him. He came out that day, and I said, did you get him? He said, no. We put out traps and bait and all this stuff. I said, no, Jack, that ain't how this works. You should have done that the first time. You better get you some galoshes on and go up under my house and get that mouse. He said, it may not be under the house. I said, no, you don't tell me. I said, I saw him, his three cousins, and his brothers are having a barbecue behind my house. Well, long story short, last night, I forgot something. I had to go pick it up about 9 o'clock. My wife texts me, and I could hear the sheer terror in her voice, because you know whenever somebody texts you in all capital letters, it's on. She said, "He's in your son's closet." Well, I rushed back. I wanted to see the show. I knew this was getting ready to get good. I go in there, and meeting me at the door is a 102-pound, purple-headed, brown-eyed female looking at me like she just had a fight with the devil. She said, "You get that mouse or I'll kill you." So for the next 2.5 hours, I commence with a broom. If I'm lying, I'm dying. With a broom, a dustpan, 5 cases of Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper, trying to corral that stupid mouse in my son's room. Number one, I didn't know this mouse's middle name was Spider-Man. I thought I had him in a corner one time. I mean, I had that broom. I thought, "Dear God, if this thing runs out at me, I'm going to need one of Ella's diapers. So help me God, if this thing comes out at me, it's over." So, long story short, I'm trying. Now look, if you like mice, if you like animals, you're not going to like the end of this story. So you can go ahead and put your fingers in your ears right now. I can promise you this ain't going to end well for you. And so anyways, long story short, for the next 2 hours, we were in that room trying to corral that mouse. Erica's up on the bed with the dustpan. I'm down on the floor. I'm standing on 2 boxes of Ella's diapers. I've got stacks, 5 around, 2 deep of the 24-pack of Coke and Dr. Pepper. I've got them stacked up, and I finally hemmed him in behind Mason's dresser. I got that thing. He's hemmed in behind the dresser. I got him corralled in there. Long story short, I only had enough Dr. Pepper and Coke to do a stack of 2, a stack of 2, a stack of 2, a stack of 2, a stack of 2. But right in the middle where I was standing, I only had room for 1 case of Coca-Cola, ginger ale or something like that. And I thought, well, he ain't going to get out right here. He's going to see me and he's going to run the other way and I'm going to catch him. So that mouse is running in circles. I'm taking those sticky pad and trying to throw it like a man throwing cards at this thing. You'll never believe what that mouse did. He found that one spot where there was only 1 case of drinks. He took a flying leap over 5 sticky pads, 2 mouse traps, and over a 24-pack of ginger ale. I'm telling you, he is related to Spider. My wife is yelling, "You turn in your man card, you turn in this, you turn in that, blah, 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 blah." I told her, I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because I can kill you." So finally, my wife, she said, you know what, we're not going to catch that thing. I said, "I don't think we are." She said, "Well, let's just put out the stick." She said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "This is what you do." I said, "Let's put out the mouse traps, put out the sticky pads, and let them do their job." She gets up in the bed. We were not laying in bed. Now, granted, she's deadbolted the children in their rooms. Number one, they're the problem. Because when I cleaned out my son's closet, there were 15 open Hershey bars in the back of his closet. I think he's hosting diabetics at some point in the night. I don't know what's going on. We were not laying in bed 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And I hear the screeching. I said, "We got him." I went to that sticky pad, and lo and behold, to my eyes, I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Erica, there's not one on there. There's 2. We got him out of the house. He's outside. I don't know where he is. He's off my property. I don't really care if he's where he is right now. I laid down in my bed, and the Holy Ghost said this. He said, "Son, you spent 2.5 hours exerting your energy, sweating, angry at everybody, mad at your wife. Your wife was mad at you, and you couldn't even catch one. You gave it over to the sticky pad and let the sticky pad do its job, and in 5 minutes it caught 2. He said, "Son, if you'll let me do my job and stop worrying yourself sick, I'll do far more in just a few seconds than you can do doing all the energy and exerting all the sweat, toil, and blood that you possibly can. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I will not try to do anything but be faithful and preach the word of the living God. Because if God can do what only God can do, He'll do that only when I do what I can do and not try to do His job. So I'm going to read to you this morning after all of that, and I want to preach to you a message entitled, Our Heavenly Oded. I'm going to show you here in verse number 9 of chapter 28. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28, verse number 9. The Bible says there in verse number 9 of chapter 28, But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Jehanan, Berechiah the son of Meshilemoth, and Jehezekiah the son of Shalom, and Amasa the son of Adlai, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, Ye shall not bring in the captives hither, for whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass? For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, my God, to fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to fill me with your unction, with your power that the old timers used to pray for. I'm praying, God, that you will fill me, that you will touch me, that you will strengthen me. And I'll bless you and I'll praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. You be seated. I watched in utter horror and amazement the other night as I began to see the same reports on my phone, on my computer, of all of the terror that was taking place in Dallas, Texas. My mind was blown away with the thought that have we arrived at this point in our nation? Have we arrived at this point in our land where the very people that keep us safe and the very people that enforce the law and the very people that try their best day in and day out to do what only they are to do, and that is to enforce the law of the land, that they have become the enemy and that they are the ones now that are having to run for their lives. Let me stop and say something very quickly. I want to make something abundantly over the top clear. I want to make something abundantly clear. Now, y'all look at me, don't worry about him. I want to make something absolutely beyond the shadow of a doubt clear, beyond all that I know. We are absolutely 100%. You okay over there, brother? All right, you good? All right, find what you need. And look at me this morning, folks. I want to make something abundantly clear. Make it absolutely above the fact that this church, this pastor, these deacons, and these people, we are absolutely 135% for our police officers and those that are in uniform. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say this today. It may change if some of the ones that are running for office today get in office, but to this day, I have found that if you don't break the law, if you don't offend them, if you don't bother them, if you don't come against them, if you don't hurt them, I'm finding that they don't really bother you, but sometimes they bless you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I say in this day that those people have become the enemy. We are looking at a world that hates law and order. We are looking at a world that hates the God of law and order. We are finding a nation that has been turned upside down on its head. And it's going to happen to us, brothers and sisters, that if we are not careful, we are going to be taken captive just like the people that we read about. I was reading about this, and let me just give you a few things. I've got to establish two things in a very short amount of time. Number one, I want to establish this. I want to establish the background of what we've read. In the passage that we have read, you've read about a man whose name is Oded. Oded is a prophet of the Lord, and he lives in the land of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. They are a godless people. They are a people that do not love order. They hate the God of the Bible. They hate the God of heaven, and they hate the temple of Jerusalem. But here in this land, these people have turned their back on God, and God has sent them into captivity. But before that they go into captivity, they have a civil war with the two southern tribes, the land of Judah. Their king is a man by the name of King Ahaz. King Ahaz is so ungodly, he is so godless, that God actually allows the 10 northern tribes to ruin them through a civil war. They have a civil war, they have a battle, and the 10 northern tribes, they take captive the two southern tribes, and they kill 100,000 people in one battle, and they carry off into slavery 200,000 people into battle. As those 200,000 people are going out to go into captivity, they are marching out, and standing up on the way to Samaria is a man, a prophet of the Lord, whose name is Oded. And there is Oded, and he's standing in the gap. There is Oded, and he's trying to keep them from going into captivity. There is Oded, and he's saying, I'm going to make a plea for you. I'm going to make a case for you, and I'm going to do my best to keep you from going into captivity. That's the first thing I've got to establish. The second thing I've got to establish is this. Everything in your Bible, and if you miss this, you'll miss the whole point of everything I ever say for the rest of my life. Everything from Genesis to Revelation, it is about one person, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Every jot, every tittle, every story, every type, every structure, every person, everything that you read about in your Bible are all pointing toward one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, every thought, it is a thought about Jesus. Every idea, it's an idea about Jesus. Everything you read, it's about Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, yesterday as I was looking at this, praying about this, studying about this, I said, oh God, if you would give me the voice of 10,000 people, if you would give me the tongue of 10,000 angels, that I could once again lift up in the eyes of the people the glory and the beauty and the harmony and the holiness and the grace and the mercy and the beauty and the loveliness and the grace of Jesus Christ. I wish, brothers and sisters, that I had the language of 10,000 people. I wish that I had the language of 10,000 dictionaries so that I could express to you how good and how lovely and how wonderful and how awesome and how majestic and how great and how beautiful and how wonderful Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is. So as I read this story, I look and I see Jesus in it. I believe today, standing at the right hand of our Father, standing at the right hand of God Almighty, we have a heavenly Oded, that just like this man, the prophet of the Lord, he stood in the gap. He stood there when we were walking into captivity. He stood there that day when the devil and the demons of hell were trying to take us into captivity. And Oded, just like Oded, Jesus stood up and he said, I'm going to make my plea. I'm going to make my case. I'm going to state my cause. I'm going to do my best to make sure that if you go into captivity, it will be because you want to go into captivity and not because I sent you into captivity. Let me show you three things very quickly this morning. Write them down, and I want to show them to you right from the scripture. Brothers and sisters, number one, I want you to look at Oded and the time of his arrival. Look there in verse number 9. Look at how the verse starts out. It says this. It says, but a prophet of the Lord was there. Do you see the first three letters of that first word, but, B-U-T? Do you know what that is? That's a conjunction. That's a word that's put there to say, I want you to stop the fault. That's a word that's put there to say, I know what's happened before, but right now I'm getting ready to change thoughts. That's a word that's put there and it says, I know that something's been going on back here, but I'm getting ready to give you a brand new line of reasoning. I know that it's looked like something back over here, but when I put that but right there, I'm showing you that everything is about to change. You say, preacher, what has happened up to this point? Well, you've got a man on the throne and his name is King Ahaz. King Ahaz is godless. King Ahaz hates God. King Ahaz, he despises the Bible. King Ahaz, he takes the temple and he ravages it. And state religion has failed. No longer can people worship God. No longer can people get a hold of God. No longer can they feel the glory of God. I feel like preaching. I don't know what time it is, but I'm feeling good about the whole thing. I know I need to be on Ritalin, but I didn't take it this morning, and I feel like talking about it a little bit this day. Ladies and gentlemen, I look around at the churches. I look around at the places. I look around at the houses of worship, and there is no more glory, and God is not there, and Jesus is not there, and the Holy One is not there, and you can't feel God anywhere around them. The preachers have no life. The preachers have no message. The preachers have no pathos. The preachers have no passion. But aren't you glad when religion fails you and preachers fail you that God threw a big old B-U-T in your way and he butted into where you were at, honey? I'm glad that when I didn't know God and I didn't feel God, it stood up and it said, but there was a prophet of the Lord. Look at what else happened. Not only had state religion failed them, but the enemy had ravaged them. It says that a man by the name of Pekah, P-E-K-A-H, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, he stood up. You say, preacher, who is that? Well, Pekah is the king of the 10 northern tribes. He's godless. Those people are godless. They don't know God. They don't love God. They don't read the Bible. They don't have them worship at the temple. You say, preacher, what does his name mean? Well, the word Pekah, it means he who is able to roam. He who is able to move. You say, preacher, who is he? Well, I believe that Pekah is a type of the devil. I believe that Pekah is a type of Satan. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, look at what it says. It says it was Pekah, the son of Remaliah. You see that name, Remaliah? That word Remaliah, it is the Hebrew word, which means he who is protected by Jehovah. Here is Pekah. At one point in Pekah's life, he dwelt in holiness. There at one point in Pekah's life, he dwelt where the light was on. There at one time in Pekah's life, he dwelt where God was real and where the holiness of God was known. Ladies and gentlemen, there is Pekah, but he decides, you know what? I don't like this holiness. I don't like this way. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own situation. And he stood up one day and he decided to go his own way. That is a wonderful type of the devil himself. He dwelt with God, created by God the Father to be the music director in heaven. But one day Satan stood up according to Isaiah 14 and he said, I will ascend to the Most High. I will usurp the throne of God Almighty. I'm going to do my own thing. And here comes Pekah. Pekah comes down and he says, I hate the people of God. I hate the people of Judah. I hate the people of Jerusalem. And he takes them captive. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a nation today. We live among a people today. They used to dwell in holiness. They used to dwell in rightness. They used to dwell in goodness. But they have decided, I am not going to live that way anymore. I am not going to go in that way anymore. Law has become chaos, and chaos has become the law. People have said, I'm not going to do what is right. I'm going to do my own thing. And you know what's happening? Just like Pekah, he's taken a whole bunch of people captive. But I want to ask you a question. Do you remember the day when you realized that you were bound down in the dread sway of sin, and you knew that the devil had a hold of you, and the devil had a hold of your life, and the devil had a hold of everything that you were? He was wreaking havoc on your mind. He was wreaking havoc on your home. He was wreaking havoc on your life. He was wreaking havoc on your children. He was wreaking havoc on your testimony. He was wreaking havoc on everything that you were. But ladies and Lord, have mercy. Aren't you glad that when he was wreaking havoc on you and he had you held captive, that God threw a big old butt right in your way? You may have been on your way to hell, but God stepped in. You may have been on your way to destruction, but God stepped in. You may have been on your way to the enemy's house, but God stepped in. You may have been on your way to despair and depression, but God stepped in. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad one day my heavenly Oded, he stepped up into my life. I'm glad one day my heavenly Oded stepped up into my heart when I was bound down in sin and I was bound down in heartache. I was bound down in confusion. I was bound down in despair. I was bound down on my way to hell, on my way to death, on my way to destruction, on my way to the devil's house, that God sent a heavenly Oded by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he stepped in and God butted in with my heavenly Oded. Let me show you number two. The truth of his appeal. The Bible says, but a prophet of the Lord was there. Watch this next phrase. Whose name was Oded. Now that doesn't bless you, and I can tell that doesn't really bless you. And it didn't really bless me until I looked up, what does the name Oded mean? Do you know whenever you look it up in that concordance that I have, the word Oded in the Hebrew, it has a one-word definition. It means restorer. It means restoration. He who takes that which is broken and puts it back together. He who takes that which is and mends it back together. Now I want you to watch something. Here comes Oded. He goes out there and he stands in the gap. He comes up out of Israel and he's on the road as the people of God are in captivity. I want you to get this in your mind. Let me take your mind on a wild goose chase like I took my mind on a wild goose chase yesterday. I want you to imagine this. Here are the captives of God. Here are the people of God. They're bound down in chains. They have been stripped. They have been beaten. They have been flogged. And they have on no clothes. They have no dignity. They have no power. And they're bound down in the fetters of sin. They've got their hands shackled. Dear God in heaven, I feel like preaching. They've got their bodies shackled. They've got their bodies stripped. They've been flayed open by the enemy. And they're walking down, heads hung low, knowing that they're about to be grinding at the mill, about to be grinding at the enemy's household. All of a sudden, they hear a voice off yonder in the distance. They hear a voice off yonder out in the shadows. They hear a voice of a man standing up in the road. And they look up, and one of the captives says, "Who is that? I don't have my glasses. Who is that? I can't see who that is. Who is that out there standing in the gap? Who is that?" Glory. "Who is that out there standing in the roadway? Who is that? Well, glory. Who is that standing between me?" Now, "Who is that standing between me and the enemy's household? Who is that?" Well, glory. "Who is that standing between me and the land of despair? Who is that standing between me and my death and destruction?" I believe one of those boys looks up and said, "Oh, that's nobody. That's just old Oded. That's nobody but that big mouth prophet. That's nobody but old Oded." I believe one of those old men, they look up in the distance. I believe all of a sudden tears well up in his eyes. I believe he starts a crying and he says, "Boys, that's not just Oded up there standing in the gap, but that's our restorer. That's our restoration that's standing in the way. That's the one that's going to take us. That's the one that's going to keep us. That's the one that's going to put it back together. That's the one that's going to break our chains. That's the one that's going to break our shackles. That's the one that's going to knock the lock off of our shackles." Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad one day when you crawled into an old church somewhere, maybe at your work, maybe at your house, maybe at an old-fashioned altar, you heard that preacher stand up and he started telling you about a man named Jesus Christ who was standing in the gap between you and your despair, between you and hell, between you and the devil and the demons demons of hell and all of hell itself. And the devil whispered in one ear, as tears welled down, rolled down your face, they welled up in your eyes, and you looked out in the distance and you said, who is that that they're talking about? Who is that that they're speaking about? The devil whispered in your ear and he said, oh, that's nobody. That's just old Jesus. That's just the old carpenter from Nazareth. That's just the one that died on the cross. That's just the one that's buried in a tomb. That's just the man that nobody cared about. That's just the man that nobody loved. And the sweet Holy Ghost of God whispered in the other ear as tears were flowing down your face. He said, no, 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 no. Tell him the rest of the story, devil. Tell him the rest of the story, demons. Tell him the rest of the story, hell. It's not just Jesus of Nazareth, but it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not just Jesus that built porches and built rocking chairs, but he built people and he brought back things from the dead and he walked on the water and he healed sick folk and he helped people. Yeah, go ahead, tell him, big devil. He did die on a cross and he was buried in a tomb, but don't stop there, big boy. You keep on and tell him the rest of the story. That same Jesus that was dead and was buried, he rose up again on the third day, appointed over death, victorious over hell, ladies and gentlemen. And you realize that day, that was the one that would take broken things and restore them back together again. That was the one that could take the shackles and the shambles of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, that day when you gave it to Jesus Christ, you felt the shackles fall off and you felt the chains loose and you said, there is hope, there is grace, there is a good God in eternity. Oh, because my heavenly restorer, my heavenly Oded has stepped into my life. Can I show you what happens last of all? Number four, write this down, then I'm done. I'm done. I can't see what I'm talking about because I threw my glasses somewhere, but it'll be okay. I showed you the time of his arrival, the truth of his appeal. Number three, let me show you the triumph of his action. You begin reading in verse number 9 and 10 that Oded, now watch this, Oded and the prince of the host have the conversation. He does not say a word to the captives because the battle is not between Oded, the man, and the captives. It's between Oded and the man. You see, the battle today is not between you and the devil and Jesus. It's just between Jesus and the devil. You and I are just a bystander in this war. And we're just on the side of the captain of the Lord's host. We just stand on the side of the captain of our salvation. And here's what we do. See, this is where we get into so much trouble. We get into so much trouble because we pull our sword out and start wielding it around. And we can't figure out why we're so tired. I believe my Bible says that the captain of the Lord's host will go before you. And the captain of our salvation shall what? Fight the battle for us. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to stand there with our sword in our hand and our shield of faith beside us with the helmet of salvation on and our loins girt about with the truth. And we're supposed to have the shoes of the gospel of peace on our feet. And we're supposed to have on all of that. And you know what we do? We stand there in the battle and let the captain of our salvation drop the devil and drop the demons and break the chains. And you know what we're supposed to do? As Jesus breaks the chains, we're supposed to run out into the highways and the byways and the streets and start gathering the people that Jesus has broken the chains off of. We're supposed to gather all the people that God's doing the work on. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not our job to catch the mouse. It's our job to put the sticky pad out and let it do the work. It's not your job to fix your marriage. It's your job to get with God and let him fight with you. It's not your job to win that loved one. It's your job to let God work and get out of his way. Now, the triumph of his action. Oded goes down. He has a conversation. I want you to look in verse number 15 at what happened. Can I show you what happens right quick? I want you to see three things that happen in verse number 15. The Bible says, and the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them and arrayed them and shod them and gave them to eat and to drink and anointed them and carried all the feeble of them upon asses and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. And then they returned to Samaria. Three things, circle these, that happened. Verse number 15, the first thing that happened, what was lost was restored. Verse number 15, the very first part of the verse, the Bible says, and they took the captives and with the spoil clothed them. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. You remember whenever the people of Israel went down to the people of Judah, they wreaked havoc on them. They destroyed their houses and they looted their homes. They took all their clothes, they took all their gold, they took all their jewelries, and they've got them in a big pile and treasure chest. And out before the captives who are stripped naked, they are walking out before them. And in all that humiliation, they look out and Oded has made the case and now they're free. And you know what they did? Oded comes with the stuff that they just lost, picks up the stuff that was just taken from them, and gives it back to them. But watch this. Not only do they get what they lost, but they get more than what they lost. Here's why. Because you remember, there were 100,000 people that died in the battle, and the enemy took all their stuff. And so what did Oded do with all the stuff of the people that had just died in the battle? He passed it on. So because of their heavenly Oded, not only did they get all their stuff back, they got some of the stuff that the other people had. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I know. I know that the devil will wreak havoc on your family. But I know if you'll get all in with God and give it all to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll put it all back together again. I'm talking to you today about a God that you may have your mind and your sanity that's been ripped out, and the devil plays games with your mind and the devil plays games with your psyche and with your soul and with your heart and with everything that you are. But I'm telling you about a God that when we walk with Him and when we listen to His Word, read His Word, and instill His Word in our heart, that He will give you back the peace that the devil has tried to take from you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you about a God that when He steps into your life, and a Christ when He steps into your heart, not only will He give back what you lost, but He gives back far more than what you lost. But let me show you number two, because I got to get to number three. Let me show you number two. Not only did they loot, they restore what was lost, but number two, those who were broken were aided. Look in the middle of the verse. Look at this little phrase. And they carried all the feeble of them upon asses. Here are a bunch of broken people and their legs are broken in the battle. And they can't walk. They're being drug along. All of a sudden, Oded steps in, Bob, and here's what he says. He says, I know you don't have enough strength to go. I know you don't have enough strength to get back home. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you assistance. I'm going to give you something that is going to well, glory. I'm going to give you something that is going to help you get to where I want to take you, because I know you can't get there by yourself. And so they pick them up and place them on something that's going to carry them back home. You say, preacher, I'm so afraid to throw in. I don't think I can live this Christian life. I'm so afraid to walk with God. I don't know. You don't know all I've got. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm broken. Ladies and gentlemen, God never asked you to do everything. He just told you to give your heart to Him, because when you give your heart to Him, He gives you a little something called the sweet Holy Ghost of promise, our paraclete, our advocate, the one that is our comforter, and He puts it inside of us. And you know what that comforter is going to do one day? It's going to take us to where God wants us to go. In this present day and in the day which is to come, the Holy Ghost of God is doing a work in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, I'm not there yet. I know restoration is a process, and being restored doesn't happen overnight. You give God time, give God space, and let Him work. Now, I got to show you this third thing, and then I'm done. Let me show you. I'm closing my Bible. Let me show you the third thing. Look at the end of the verse. Look at the end of the verse. It says this. Where did they take them to? The Bible says they took them to Jericho, which is the city of palm trees. Now, why would Jesus, in the inspiration of the Scripture through the Holy Ghost, make sure that the writer of Chronicles put that in there? Why would He say, I want you to tell them it's a city of palm trees? Here's why. Remember how I told you in your Bible that things mean things in the Bible? They don't just say things, but every word's inspired by God. So watch this. So now you have the city of palm trees. You know what a palm tree is the picture of in the Bible? It's a picture of victory and a fruitful life. You say, how do you know it's a picture of victory? Do you know in the New Jerusalem or in the millennial reign, do you know what the wood of the temple is made out of? Palm. Do you remember when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, they said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and they laid down what? Palm. It's a picture of victory. Here are those people broken, shackled, and on their way to destruction. Oded steps in and changes it all. And you know what they say? They say, Oded, I don't have anything to go back to. They've destroyed my home. They've destroyed my dwelling. They've destroyed everything that I am. They've destroyed my heart, my life, my everything, my all. They have destroyed everything that I am. Oded, I can't go back home. Oded says, I'm not going to take you back to your house. I'm going to take you back to my house. I'm not going to take you back to the broken shambles of where you were. I'm going to take you to where I live. Because where I live, it's a city of victory. It's a city of perpetual wind. It's a city of fruitfulness. Yesterday, I said, Lord Jesus, would you give me a story that illustrates this thing, please, oh God? I heard the story about a man when he was 16 years old, saved his money, and bought a beautiful muscle car. He'd wanted this one particular muscle car all his life. And he finally saved up every dime he could, and he spent every dime buying that muscle car. And he was so excited. He bought that car. Man, he rode that car up around town. He'd go drag on the strip, do everything he could. Well, over time, he still didn't have a lot of money going through college, and that car began to break down. The car began to have some work done on it. So finally, reluctantly, he sold that car. He sold it to the man, and as soon as the man stamped the title and they did the changeover and did the money, the boy asked the man what he was going to do with the car. He said, well, son, I'm going to be downright honest with you. He said, what my plans for this car are is I plan to junk it off for parts. The boy began to cry. He said, please no, sir. He said, please no, sir. Let me buy it back. Please don't do that. The man said, you can't afford it, son. He said, just name the price. And he named some outlandish price. And the man said, I can't. He lived every day of his life with the greatest regret because he'd lost that car. He tried to replace it with imitations. He tried to replace it with things that looked like it. But nothing was ever the same as that car. Over time, time went on. He just thought, man, if I could just get that car back. I'd do almost anything that I could to get that car back. I'd do anything I could to get that car back. He turned into an old man, and one day he bought a little fixer-upper car. He needed a part from the junkyard, so he went down to the junkyard with his grandson. He went down to that junkyard, and as they were looking for the part, he just happened to look over out of the corner of his eye and behind a pile of trash. He looked over, and he said, boy, look at that. He said, that looks just like my old car. He said, I think that is my old car. He went over there and man, it had been beat up by the years. You could tell it had been a few ding-ups and bump-ups. And he looked up under the hood and half the parts were gone. And he looked at the VIN number and he looked at it and tears streaming down his face. He said, that's my car. He said, I finally found it. That's my car. That's my car, I finally found it. He said, sir, how much do you want for this? The junkyard owner, he said, sir, you don't want that car. That car's broken down, missing half its pieces. It's been beat up. It's been banged up. It's been roughed up. You don't want that car. It doesn't even run. He said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you how much you wanted for the car. He named a price. The old man pulled out of his pocket and he wrote the check. He wrote the check and he gave it to him. He loaded the car up on the trailer that he had in the back. And his grandson was in his car as they were pulling that car back to the house. He said, Papa, I got to know. His grill looked over his granddad. He's just crying. Tears are running down his face and he's just crying. He said, Papa, I got to know. What are you going to do with that car? He said, son, that was the car I lost. That was a car I gave up too easily. That was a car that I loved and have loved all my life. And I told God if I ever could, I'd get it back. He said, but Papa, that car doesn't even run. It's broke down. It's missing half the parts. It doesn't have everything it needs. What are you going to do with that car? Granddaddy wiped his face off, wiped his tears off his face. And he looked at him and he spoke one word. He said, restoration. Restoration. He said, how are you going to restore it, Papa? He said, you don't even have all the parts. He said, no, but I know where to go to get them. He said, but it's broke down. He said, I know, but you give me enough time and I'll fix it. He said, but it's got bumps and dings and scratches and it's been knocked around. He said, I know, but you give me enough time. You give me enough grit. I'll sand that thing down. I'll have it back to its original shine. I'll have it back to its original luster. It'll have a new roar. It'll have a new sound. It'll have a new strength. It'll have a new power. So he went home and he found out he couldn't get the parts. So you know what he said? He said, I'll just give it a new motor. He found out he couldn't get the transmission, but he said, I'll give it a new transmission. He said he found out he couldn't get all the fabric. He said, I'll just give it a new interior. He found out that they didn't make the paint color they did. He said, so I'll give it a new exterior. So, man, he got to doing that. And I got to looking at that story, and God began to remind me. He said, son, do you remember when I found you in the junkyard of sin? You were beat down, broke down, didn't have half your parts, your motor didn't run, and you weren't going anywhere. But I, in my mercy and in my grace, I latched on to you. I paid the price, paid the bill, and paid off the junkyard owner. I took you back and began to sand you down on the outside. But I realized I couldn't do anything with the motor that you had. I couldn't do anything with that old nature, so I gave you a new nature. And I realized I couldn't do anything with the spirit you had in you, so I gave you the Holy Spirit of promise. And I began to sand you down from the inside and replace the interior on the inside and give to you a brand new shine on the outside. Honey, I'm revving up today. I feel my motor about to strip a gear. You know why? It's not because of me, and it's not because of you, and it's not because of this church, but it's because the heavenly shop owner of heaven one day decided to step into my life, pulled me out of the junkyard of sin, gave me a new heart, gave me a new life, gave me a new being, gave me a new soul, gave me a new spirit, gave me a new outlook on life, and he changed me from the inside out. You say, preacher, who would do that? My heavenly Oded. You say, what does this nation need? They need their heavenly Oded to step in. God in heaven, I come today and I worship you. Oh, God, I bless you today. I thank you for all that you have done. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I pray. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. My invitation is simple. It is to you, sir. It is to you, ma'am. Have you been born again? How many of you would say, preacher, I know by an upraised hand, by an uplifted hand, my testimony, I have been saved. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. That's great. You put those hands down this morning. I'm not going to poke you. I'm not going to prod you. And I sure won't embarrass you. But I promise you this morning, Jesus said, if you'll come unto me, I will save you. I will change you. I will give to you a new heart and a new nature. Your heavenly Oded is standing with his arms lifted up this morning. And he's saying, no, don't go that way. Don't go that way. I'm going to stand in the gap. Now, you can go to hell if you want to, but it won't be because Jesus didn't step in. It won't be because he didn't try to change you and shake you and give to you a new heart and a new life. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do this morning. I'm going to invite you to come. I'm only going to sing one verse, one chorus. We're only going to play one time, and then we're going to go. Let's stand all over the building this morning. Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking. Our eyes are closed. You need to be born again. You come this morning right down here. Come on. Come on, right down here, right down here. Brother Scott's going to play one time. I'm done after this. I'm not going to poke you. I'm not going to prod you. But God will save you. God can save you. God will save you. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, I come in the holy name of Jesus Christ, and I sure am thankful for my heavenly Oded. Oh, God, I worship you and I praise you today and I give you glory. Thank you for this first service and thank you for the opportunity to preach it. And I'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's remain standing very quickly. We got to go to Sunday school.